Is this on? Working? It's in the right place? All right. Is this thing on? Good morning, everybody. It's good to see everyone here once again this morning.
Good morning, Sunday morning.
There's Wes, and he missed his debut. You can let him know that we missed him today. So today is March 16th, and it's the last Sunday of this winter season, as spring will begin on Thursday. So here we sit kind of in the in-between. You get aspects of winter like we saw this morning, or Friday was like a nice summer day. So we're in the in-between. As winter is changing into spring, we can already see that the world around us is starting to begin to awaken. The air feels lighter. The days are getting longer. Looking online, it says that our shortest days for Northern Illinois, we have 9 hours of light. The longest days, we have 15 hours of light. But we're sitting at about 12 hours, which makes sense. I mean, that's the simple definition of the equinox. You got same length, day and night, so about 12 hours. And we're beginning to see the stirring of new life, sprouting plants. This is a picture that our mom sent to the family chat a few days ago. We're just starting to see hints of green in the grass, even though it is under the snow at this point. We're seeing more birds, different varieties of birds, more bird activity. You can even see the migratory birds moving back to where it's going to be warmer eventually. So basically, the times, they are changing. Springtime is a time of renewal. It's a time of new hope. It's a hope that we have to work maybe to realize its full potential. It's a time to nag Jackie to get her garden preparations underway, because every year she, there's time, and then the neighbors are picking their tomatoes and she hasn't planted hers yet, but maybe this will be her year. We'll see. The seasonal change in a way mirrors our own faith and spiritual journeys. So today we'll reflect on that, since that's what mirrors do. And we'll see what maybe these parallels can teach us. Spring is sort of a miraculous time of year. We begin from a seemingly lifeless, dormant world. We have bare trees, frozen grounds. A lot of times, I know the picture doesn't have it, but a lot of times our water sources are frozen, the rivers, the lakes. So there's a lot of variety that we miss out on during the dormant season. Sometimes everything's covered in snow, sometimes it's not. And then in this transitional period of renewal, we see that the world begins to come to life again. We see trees budding, flowers begin to grow, as we saw earlier, the picture that my mom sent. The water begins flowing again. The birds are being noisy. Jackie always complaining about that in the morning, that the birds won't shut up. And then we get better light, more light, and we can feel warmth from that. This is a sense of renewal that has been around since God's creation of the world. And we can read in Genesis 1, verses 11 to 12. It says, "Then God said, 'Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth, bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them.' And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good." So we can kind of see from this passage, if we think about it a little bit, God allowed for a perpetual and cyclical pattern. And each time the cycle begins, it leaves a place for renewal. For us at least, in this climate, Northern Illinois, springtime is kind of a testament to what this renewal might look like. It's a reminder that what may have seemed dead at one time for several months can be restored. It can come alive again. Something that seemed maybe lost can be restored. And at the same time, and the same can be said about our faith. And by that I mean what we believe and how that manifests into our actions and also in our spirituality. And by that I mean our personal connection to God. David shows his reliance on the idea of spiritual renewal if we look at Psalm 51, 10. I've got 10 and 12. And they read, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." And then verse 12 says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit." And if you go back, there's a heading of the chapter, and it says, "The Psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba." So David was likely at a spiritual low, if you recall the account. And that's kind of what that whole chapter is looking for, renewal, looking for redemption. I don't know if I'm supposed to be there yet, so I'll go back just in case. We also go through the same cycles as he did. We have ups and we have downs in our faith and in our faith and in our spirituality. Sometimes we experience maybe what we would call a spiritual spring or springtime. We're up on the mountaintop. We feel unstoppable. We can feel the warmth of the light. Our spiritual growth is inevitable. And our prayers seem to have purpose. But then there's other times where we experience maybe what we'd call spiritual winter. These are the times when we're stuck fighting in the trenches. Save the trenches, that org. Where it seems like we have lost, or at least partially lost, what we once had. A time where growth seems maybe impossible. We're in the cold, we're in the darkness, when maybe our prayers seem unanswered and even pointless at times. Our faith feels frozen during these times. But this isn't to say that these winter periods aren't useful. When preparing for this, I came across something that said that oak trees grow their strongest roots in the winter. And it surprised me a little bit, so I looked it up, and it wasn't true. But there was a recent study that I found that showed that the roots do continue to grow. Even though the trunk is dormant, there's still wood growth in the roots. But it would have been helpful if that original thought was true. And if nothing else, even if it doesn't grow, the tree during dormancy holds on to what it has so that when the time is right, it can come back to life. It doesn't die. It saves its energy. It saves what it has. It's patiently holding on to what remains, and it knows better times are coming, if I am allowed to personify the tree. I don't know if they know things or not. And AI pointed out in its conclusion on the subject, saying, "So while winter might not be when oaks build their strongest roots in terms of size or length, it's the time when the roots have already grown hardened and stabilized, setting the stage for explosive growth when spring arrives. The real strength comes from the whole cycle, not just the one season." And I'm not sure if the first part of that is true. I tried to look the stuff up, and the stuff is so varied, so it's hard to even verify anything anymore. But I did like the last sentence. "The real strength comes from the whole cycle, not just the one season." We know from several passages that trials, or maybe times of spiritual winter, seem to prepare us for spiritual growth. Now we're on the James 1. James 1, 2 through 4 reads, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. We can also see in Romans 5, 3 through 5, it says, and not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We can see from some of the examples in the Bible, like we've got Job, David, we just read an example from David, Peter, Paul. If we look back at some of their accounts, we can kind of see some of the wisdom that they seem to have gained during these spiritual winters or these hard times. But we also have to be careful that we don't yield to the harsh season and be sure that we eventually emerge from the winter and embrace the renewal that God gives to us. Renewal means to make like new or to restore to freshness. We were made new when we came to Christ and accepted him as our Savior. We can read in 2 Corinthians 5:17, where Paul writes, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. So we shut off what was preventing us from growing, and we became a new being. This passage kind of gives us a reference point to what I'm going to call our first spring, maybe. So take a few seconds. Try to remember back to the time when you first became this new being, if that applies to you. Maybe there were feelings of strength, a sort of freshness, some type of excitement, a new hope, abundant energy. But somehow, without fail, the world slowly wears away and wears this feeling down. So how often are you renewed back to that original state? There are some here that are still looking ahead to their first spring, I understand, and some here who have already experienced several cycles of spring. But either way, this newness for the former and this renewing for the latter, it requires us to let go of what's holding us back and what's holding us down and inhibiting our growth. I've read that pruning is best done during the dormant season. And again, a lot of people said it. I don't know if it's true. I don't know if it's true anymore. But just as a tree drops its old leaves to make room or make way for the new leaves, we should also shed what doesn't serve our spiritual growth. Spring comes gradually at first and then suddenly. How many of you have ever been out in the spring and didn't really notice the leaves on the trees until they were basically full? I do this pretty often, and I guess if I were paying attention, I would notice before it happens, but that's if I was paying attention. That's not my strong suit, I guess. If I were paying attention, I would notice the swelling of the buds. That somehow emerged from the sticks. I don't even know how it comes out of there, but somehow those come out of the dead sticks and turn into leaves and stuff. But if I were paying attention, I would see what's happening around me. And likewise, if we're paying attention, we'll begin to see how maybe God is working in our lives as we transition from a spiritual winter into a renewal, a springtime renewal maybe. And on the inverse, if we're paying attention, maybe we can see the season of dormancy as it begins to set in. Because it comes the same way. You're driving to Rockford on 39, you get to the Kishwaukee Valley area, and all of a sudden the leaves are all colorful, and you think, hey, when did that happen? And it seems sudden, but it's gradual, so it's an easy thing to miss. But if we're paying attention, we may see these seasons sneak into our own lives. The trees aren't privileged to have any sway over the timing of their seasons, and I think this is one point where the analogy kind of diverges. We aren't stuck to one renewal or one growth cycle per year. In fact, let's read 4:16. It says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day." He mentions being renewed daily. Imagine having that same first spring feeling that we reflected on. If we could find that feeling each day. It may not be probable. I mean, it may be hard to do, but it seems as long as we want to put the effort in, we can, and stay attentive to what's going on around us, we can at least get maybe close to that feeling. The point being that we do seem to have some control over our dormancy. Sure, certain times are going to be difficult to maintain a spirit of growth, and other times will seem very easy. But we have a chance each day, or perpetual, really, each moment, to become new again. Let's look at Lamentations 3:22-23. It says, "The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Earlier, I referenced Psalm 51 when David was looking for renewal after he found himself entangled in sin. And I also mentioned that the wisdom that he was able to gain from that, or even some of the other people we mentioned, Job, Paul, Peter, some of the wisdom they learned during their tribulations, trials, whatever, winters. And I know some of those are physical over spiritual, but one can kind of lead to the other, I suppose. But when I was looking at the David example, I talked about the benefit that came from the growth, but the intent isn't to condone being entangled in sin, the winter that it causes, but just maybe being realistic and understanding that we're going to fail at times. We're not likely to find that renewal each day, although it is possible. So the point would be to make the best of a bad situation, and more importantly, use the acquired wisdom from these bad situations to help push us out of the dormancy that maybe we're in and back into a season of spiritual growth. The point is for encouragement to persevere through dormancy or a stagnant period, and into a spiritual awakening. I mentioned Job earlier, in chapter 14, verses 7 through 9. It reads, "For there is hope for a tree when it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and its shoots will not fail, though its roots grow old in the ground, and its stump dies in the dry soil. At the scent of water, it will flourish and put forth springs like a plant." And if you read through the whole chapter, he's talking about resurrection here. But I think this also works for the short term. We can have hope in all of our situations. And I guess that's because of the long term. The resurrection is what kind of drives our hope. But this is because we serve a God of renewal. We saw how he created the seed. He created a world that allows for renewal. Hosea 6:3 says, "So let us press on to know the Lord. His going forth is as certain as the dawn, and he will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain watering the earth." As we find ourselves experiencing spring this year, I want you to take the time to consider what area in your life is dormant, maybe. What what spiritual aspect of your life is awaiting its own renewal, and then try to understand what it is that's keeping the renewal from happening. What's holding it down? What needs to be shed? Decide if there's some type of pruning that needs to take place. And let's remember. Let's try to remember what's written in Song of Solomon 2:11-12. It says, "The rain is over and gone. The flowers have already appeared in the land. The time has arrived for pruning the vines, and the voice of the turtle dove has been heard in our land. We should make now the season to be renewed and to flourish spiritually." We talked earlier about the refreshing feel of spring, and it related it to our own feeling of when we first belonged to Christ. But there's another example that I want to look at. Last week, Dan ended with the reading of Jude. And sometimes it's nice to look at a whole story with all of its context without breaking it apart. Just read the story for what it is. So we look at Psalm 119, and it happens to be the longest book in the Bible. Oops, that's too far. We have a little time, so let's see what it has to say about spiritual renewal. It says, "How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord." I'm just joking. I'm not gonna read you the longest book of the Bible. I looked it up. I think it says it takes about 20 to 25 minutes, so it would take me probably 30 minutes, maybe 35 minutes. But the example of the refreshing feeling would be getting out of class unexpectedly early.